we're going to continue on with our series, When You Pray. And we started, a month ago. We're going to keep going. Probably it's going to be mid-October before we get through this. But the disciples asked Jesus one day to teach them how to pray. And because they had watched him pray and they were curious and wanted whatever it was he had, they'd like to have it. And so Jesus took them up on the offer and he began to do a lesson plan on prayer. We see that same lesson plan in Matthew 6 where we picked it up on the sermon, just after or part of the Sermon on the Mount. When we find these words, they'll be on the screen, Matthew 6. And when you pray, this is where we got the title for the message. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets. They do that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ever ask them. In this manner, therefore, pray. And would you pray with me this prayer that we're considering each week? Pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're saying that every week. We're learning. Some of you already knew that prayer. You learned it a long time ago, maybe even in Sunday school. But that's a prayer many know. Even those who do not follow Jesus are familiar with this prayer. But my hope in this series is not that you just learn how to say the prayer, but we're learning how to live the prayer. And I want you to know that's what my experience has been. As I've been encountering this familiar prayer that I've known for a long time, and I've even taught on it before, but this time it's different for me. This time, as I've been meditating, almost saturating myself in this prayer, it's changing me. It's speaking to me. It's more than just a bunch of words, but God is trying to do something in my life, and I hope in yours as well. In part one, many weeks ago, we started with those first four words, Our Father in Heaven. In your insert, you'll see it's pre-filled for you as we look at seven reflections of this prayer. The first one, they all begin with P to help you remember the first one. Our Father which art in heaven is our position. Our position in prayer. Probably most important, as we often said, if this fails, the whole prayer collapses. This is our identity in the prayer, that you and me, we are sons and daughters, and we've been adopted by our Heavenly Father, and we approach Him in that spirit. We also considered hallowed be your name. That was our second reflection, which was one of praise and adoration. This is a prayer that we're going to take to heaven with us, this part of the prayer. The whole prayer doesn't go. Give us this day our daily bread. We won't need to pray that in heaven because we won't be hungry. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors won't be necessary. We'll be in perfect forgiveness. Deliver us from temptation and the evil one. He will not be there. But this part of the prayer will be there. Hallowed be thy name, for we will spend eternity, I believe, with all the angels. Even as we read through the book of Revelations, we see it over and over again as they declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And so we are starting that now. Remember, there's the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. And the kingdom now, we're already got a piece of that going right here this morning. As we worship the Lord, we declare his holiness. But it's more than a song. It's more than a prayer. It's how we live our lives. Amen. And 1 Peter 1:14-16, we ended that second reflection with these words. As obedient children, we do not conform to the evil desires that we had when we lived in ignorance. You remember that time in your life? Not anymore. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And remember that we trip on that because not many of you think you're holy, but God says you are. If you're a child of God, he's your Father in heaven, then you are holy because it means to be separated. And God declared you holy when he drew you to himself. He made you holy. And because of that, that's first level. Second level, we present our bodies to God. Romans 12. Holy and acceptable. The only way we present our bodies is because God has already drawn us to himself. Our response is to give him our bodies. Amen? That's what we do. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. Sounds like this scripture. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that then leads us to the third level of holiness, which is where we all struggle, and it's the only level we think of when we hear the word, and that's why you trip over it. Living holy. Because nobody here in this sanctuary that I know of would say or even think of themselves in those terms, or others identify them as holy. And yet we need to declare it. And by doing so, we are participating in this prayer. Hallowed be thy name. How is his name hallowed? It is because of our own lives and the way we live our lives. Then last week we moved to the third reflection. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember the third reflection, purpose and plan. Purpose and plan. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. The kingdom of God is one of the most talked about subjects in the New Testament. Remember, it appears how many times? In your notes, do you have them? 162 times in the New Testament. And in the Gospels alone, 61 times this word is used, the kingdom of God. We identified it as the reign and rule of God. And so I came up with this little definition on the screen. It's probably oversimplified, but this is, when we think of the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not a place, it's not a building. It is the rule and reign of God, wherever it is, through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. His kingdom has come to this earth. The Old Testament spoke of it. We are in the time when the kingdom came to live among. Jesus is the reflection of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God through Christ. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And next week, Frank is going to be ministering from the book of Acts on the Holy Spirit. He'll be continuing on this idea of the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us boldness. It's not of this world. God has equipped us so that we can fulfill this prayer. Well, last week we had an acrostic. Do you remember it? Here it is on the screen. We're not going to go through all the scriptures, but if you weren't here, you can get a copy of that sermon. But we spelled it out. The K, the kingdom of God, is made up of kingdom first seekers. That's what we want to be. The kingdom of God is in our midst, and it's in us. It's in us. In, now, and not yet. We are taught the kingdom, the tension of the now and not yet of the kingdom of God. G, the gospel is proclaimed, that the gospel of the kingdom, that's what it's about, and you're living in that day. D, dependence and trust. Remember Jesus said, unless you come as a little child, you will not receive the kingdom of God. He's wanting us to come in the spirit of dependence and trust and humility. O, obedience to God's will. That's part, when we walk in that spirit of obedience, we are obeying the words of the kingdom. And M, we ended with M, mystery. And if you don't mind, I'm not going to move on to the next phase. I want to back up to mystery. And this morning we're going to reflect on that a little more. The mystery of the kingdom. Matthew 13, 11 through 13, the disciples asked Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? He said this to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Mystery. don't know about you, when I hear the word, how many of you like mystery? You like watch mystery movies, yeah? Trying to figure it out, you know? Mystery. What is mystery? Here's a definition from Webster's Dictionary and the Vines Concordance in the Greek. In Webster, it says, a mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. It is a puzzle, a riddle, could be, or a secret. I mean, that's a mystery. In the Greek, I love the Greek word that Jesus used literally means to shut the mouth, a secret through silence. When I first read it, forgive me for this, I heard it in my head, shut up. You know, have you ever had somebody say that? Shut up. What are they saying? Why? Are you kidding me? That's, you know, it's a mystery. There's things that are hidden that you cannot see. How many of you, I want you to know something about your life as a kingdom person. There are things hidden. There are mysteries that surround our life. Do you believe that? I believe that's true. We were talking Thursday morning, the group that meets here for Thursday morning prayer. We went to McDonald's to have some coffee, and we were sitting around the table. Some of the brothers were from faith community, some not. And we were talking about, I raised this question. I said, how did we all get here? And they said, well, we drove over here. We got in our car. No. How did we all get here? How come we are sitting around this table? And they said, well, and Richard, who doesn't come to Faith Community, some of you know him through Legacy, he said, well, I met you because I needed insurance. I said, that's great. Okay, that's obvious, right? I said, but what else had to happen? He said, well, Steve Miller, who's a missionary to China, he recommended that I come see you because he knew you. Well, now we're getting a little deeper. Okay. I said, is that it? Yeah, I guess that's it. I said, well, how did I get to know Steve Miller? And we started backing up and backing up and backing up, and we realized something. God moved heaven and earth for us to all be at that table that day. What did it take for us to be together? For me to know Ray and Char Green. I mean, the mysteries of the kingdom. See, you can see only so far. As far as you, just in the natural, you can see, well, yeah, see, I needed insurance, so there you happen to be. But how did I meet Connie? Well, you start backing up and go as far as you can. You know, and you know my story, and I ended up in the court system and was sent to an institution. I met Major Froberg. He picks me out of 60 boys. Why me? Why not one of the other boys? Of course, he says, well, you're the only one that spit on me. Okay, I'll take it. He then gets an envelope in the mail. Says, you're going to Alton, Illinois. Well, that's cool. And we go down there. He has a horse. He boards it on a farm. I meet the farmer's daughter. Now you tell me, who did that? It is the mystery of the kingdom. It's all around you, and some of you don't even see it. And maybe you can't. But I'm here today to get you to embrace the mystery. And I want you to understand life is bigger than you think it is. And what you think are a few moving parts are really hundreds of moving parts. Do you really think that you're pulling the strings? I think God in his sovereign purpose and plan is working something, and it is part of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want you to know his kingdom coming and his will being done is the same coin, just two different sides. It's the same coin, just flip it over. God's kingdom is God's will. God's will is God's kingdom. And it's come from heaven to earth, and it's connected us. And we're part of it in ways that blow my mind. How did I get here? Faith Community Church. You weren't even on my radar. And Marshall calls me on the phone. Well, what led up to that? And what? How, back up a little farther, Marshall, huh? Right? Where did we first meet? And just keep going. And when we first met, this was not on the agenda. At least we didn't know it. How many things are happening right now in your life and they're connected to your future and you don't have a clue? It's the kingdom. the mystery of the kingdom, that God is working plans and purposes, and his kingdom is coming, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what kind of kingdom is this? Well, it's an upside. Well, we didn't get to our definition, did we? In the Greek, did we? We just failed to get it up there. Just keep pushing the button. I think it'll keep coming. There it comes. All right. Technology, isn't it just awesome? It's a mystery. Okay. That's what we were talking about, to shut your mouth, a secret through silence, all right? Things that are hidden in your life. And I just want to encourage you today that there are things hidden that you can't even see in the kingdom that you're somehow participating in and you may not even know it. Well, I want to talk about very briefly, and I know I got minutes here, and I really don't have any notes on this. I'm just going to read some scripture to you, okay? And this next slide, here it is. This is what we call the upside down kingdom. You are part of the kingdom of God. God brought you into the kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. And we're going to go to Matthew 5 because Jesus begins to talk. He goes out to the mountain and he begins to preach a sermon, the Beatitudes, right? They're the blessings. This is the kingdom of God. And earlier last week, we looked in Luke, we saw this, some of these same Beatitudes. Remember, we saw the four blessings and the four woes. Those are two kingdoms. We live in the kingdom of the world, but we're now citizens of the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of the world, remember the four woes? There's power, right? There's material comfort. There's success. And there's recognition. Are those all things we like? Yeah, sure we do. But that's the world. In the kingdom of God, Jesus says it's upside down. It's different from that. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, listen to this. Not on the screen. How about Matthew 20? Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. There's power. That's the kingdom of the world. Everybody wants it. You ever see it at work? People jockeying for position and exercising power. What kingdom is that? Well, Jesus says, yet it shall not be so among you. We live in a different kingdom, right? It's not going to be that way for us. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. What is that? That's an upside down kingdom, isn't it? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom. How about Matthew 16? Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, be part of the kingdom, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Is that an upside down kingdom? That's not the way the world lives. That's the way kingdom people live. Matthew 5, in the context of the Beatitudes, he tells us that you have heard it said, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the kingdom of this world. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Later, he says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. We overcome evil with good. That's not how the kingdom of the world works, but that's how God's kingdom works. Amen? He talks about giving. He says, as you give, so will be given back to you. Get out of here. I think you need to hoard and save and stockpile. That's the kingdom of this world, isn't it? My wife and I, just being transparent with you, we were meeting this week and talking, looking over our finances. And we're getting older, so we're looking at the future. And you know, it's not hard. If you stare too long, you get a little nervous sometimes thinking about the what ifs. And we were doing our planning, and then later afterwards, I got to thinking, were we thinking of that like kingdom people? Are we thinking like that worldly kingdom? And it hit me. It was totally worldly. And God just really began to speak to me, Joe, I want you to be a kingdom person. I want you to think about these things differently. I want you to filter it through the kingdom. It's so easy, isn't it, to get off track. And so Jesus, he's up on the mountain. He goes up there, and they go to the mountain. You know, the revolutionaries went to the mountains. They didn't go into the cities because they didn't want to attract attention. So people are coming. because they think Jesus is going to give them a different kind of kingdom than they think. And he begins to tell them how to live their life in the kingdom of God. And he begins to give these beatitudes. And we don't have time to go through them all, but I want to real quickly give you something here that I think will be significant, and we can pick it up later, okay? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, who's the poor in spirit? Remember we had the blessed are the, or woe are those who are powerful and have wealth and everything. Not that we shouldn't have those things, not that we couldn't have those things, but he says the real blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? They're the people who know who they really are without Christ. That we didn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We didn't come on our own. Jesus called us, and we need to remember who we are in the kingdom of God. That way we can come with a spirit of humility. Because we know it wasn't us. We're poor in spirit. We didn't have anything to bring to the table. God did that. Amen. He brought that to us. I have a quote here from John Ruskin, who was an old reformer. And on humility, he said this, and I quote, I believe the first test of a truly great person is their humility. I do not mean by humility doubt of his own power or hesitation of speaking his opinions, but a right understanding of the relationship between what he can do and say and the rest of the world's sayings and doings. Are we just blending in with the world? We're to be in the world, but not of the world, because we're kingdom people. He went on. He said, these people have a curious undersense of powerlessness, feeling that the greatness is not in them, but through them. Sometimes we get thinking it's us, don't we? He says it's through them that they could not do or be anything else than God made them. And they are seeing something divine and God made in every other man they meet and are endlessly, foolishly, incredibly merciful. Poor in spirit. I heard a story that touched my heart this week. It was a couple in this pastor's church, and her husband was dying, and they had hospice come in, and he was younger than one would think to pass from this life in his late 50s, early 60s, and people were coming and visiting, and they were hours away from him going to heaven, and this one brother came into the room and was agitated about this whole incident. And you can imagine, you know, death agitates me. I don't know about you. I get really angry about death. And so it was natural to be upset. This shouldn't be. And yet the wife seemed to have a joy about her, a peace about her. And he challenged her, and this is what she said to him. She said, my husband deserves to go to hell. Just like you and me. But because of Christ, in just a few hours, my husband will be with God in heaven. Is that not worth rejoicing about? See, she understood her poverty in spirit and that only God could do that. In the kingdom of God, we don't come in our arrogance and pride. We come in humility. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power restrained. Power restrained. Now, you have the ability to crush, but you don't. Blessed, but in the world's kingdom, you would. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you ever been really thirsty? I still remember our trip to Africa when we forgot to get water for a day. I've never been that thirsty in my life. And your throat begins to close up, and you're like, you got a mouthful of cotton. You do anything for a drink of water. And we found that little sugar cane, and we started sucking on it. Saved us. And I thought later, boy, I want to be that thirsty for the kingdom of God. I want to be that thirsty for righteousness. I would have done anything for water. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to be distracted. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those of us in the kingdom, we show mercy. Why? Because we're poor in spirit. It's easy for us to be merciful. It should be, because we ourselves have received mercy. Who's mercy for? Who's mercy for? The guilty. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God? I believe having a pure heart, a sincere heart, you will see God. You'll see God in your life. You'll see God in the kingdom. And sometimes people can't see God because they're missing this in the kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers. Notice he didn't say peacekeepers. They make peace. And they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, how well off you are in the kingdom of God. These are contrary to the kingdom that some are looking for. And Luke, that's what he was talking about. But, you know, woe are these things, but blessed are those things. He even said, when people don't think well of you, jump for joy. What's that? That's an upside down kingdom is what that is. I want to close with something. I was going to go over the soils in Matthew 13, but I'd like you just to grab a hold here of two parts of on your own, look at Matthew 13 if you want to understand what the kingdom's like, because it is a mystery. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven, chapter 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Now, a lot of Bible scholars believe he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the children of Israel because in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, or in Exodus, 19, he refers to the children of Israel as his treasure. And that very well could be, but I see something else here that I want us to draw from because he goes on and says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now here's the interesting part, especially if you think of it, that some people think the pearl are the Gentiles, the church, and the reason they believe that is because the Jewish people saw no value in pearls. Why not? Pearls, I'd like to have some real pearls. Yeah, they're worth a lot of them. They saw no value in pearls because where did they come from? Where do pearls come from? Oysters. What are oysters to a Jew? Unclean. Unclean. And how are pearls formed? It's the only gem that comes from a living being. He's saying something to us. He may be saying we are the pearl, because how is it formed? It's formed through an irritant. It's formed somehow something gets into the oyster. It's a contaminant, and the oyster responds to it and starts releasing fluid and whatever happens there chemically, and eventually over time it becomes a pearl. Boy, a lot's being said here, isn't it, about how that happens. I drew a lot from that, but what really struck me about the kingdom of heaven and how it's like these two things is, and let's assume that it is the heart of God, who the Jewish people were hidden, and then a great price was paid for them. Same with the pearl. The great price was paid for us. Top dollar was paid for us. But I also thought about seeking first the kingdom in our own lives. And I think as I read these particular parables, I have to ask myself the question, how bad do I want the kingdom? Do I want the kingdom more than anything? Would I be willing to give everything I have for it? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. I believe what God is calling us to, and I want to just, as we close here, I want to share with you my frustration. As a pastor, I'm frustrated with myself because I am totally surprised at how often I am operating outside the kingdom and how easy it is to do it. And I'm the pastor. But I realize that with the exercise we went through this week, you know, I prayed, Lord, I want to be a kingdom person. I want everything I do and I want it all to filter through the kingdom, because that's why I'm here. That's why I draw breath. I'm not here just to have a fun-filled life, although that would be good, but it's bigger than that. And because, just like those of us around that table Thursday morning, God's up to something, and I'm involved in it, and his kingdom's coming, and his will is being done. And I want to have an awareness of that and not be sucked into the kingdom of the world, where all I care about is power and wealth and material well-being. I mean, I understand that, why you would want that. Success, I understand that. But I've seen a lot of ministries go down because of that. Are you having recognition? I understand all that, but that's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom of God. And so I believe God's drawing me personally. Here I am in the last quarter of my life, and I want to finish differently, I think, than I was going to. And it's going to be kingdom focused. And I'm learning now in my own life to be able to take everything, even don't make this spooky. The kingdom of God is in every single area of your life, even the little things. If you could think that way, that the kingdom of God is the filter. That's what he says, he sold everything he had to have that treasure. He sold everything he had to get the pearl. Is that our attitude towards the kingdom of God? It's subtle sometimes, and I know some of it's a mystery, I grant you, but I want you to embrace the mystery today. I want you to embrace it, that God has called you. You live in this time and this place because God ordained it to be so. You could have lived 100 years ago. You could live 100 years. No, you live right now. And everybody gripes and complains about our culture and the time we're living in. I just want to say to you, zip it and start living the kingdom. I want you to do what the Greek said, to shut the mouth, a secret through silence, and live it. Just live the kingdom. Live it with your family. Live it with your children. I want to be a kingdom husband. What's that look like? Well, read Matthew 13. Are we living the kingdom in our marriages? That's what this class is going to be about. How we treat our children, how we respond in the workplace. Taylor Moore told me he's got a new job, and he's working with a security company, and he was on the phone, and he overheard a conversation of his boss to another employee, and his boss was quoting scripture to him. That was the kingdom. The kingdom was present. Now the world, remember what Jesus said, they can't see it, and they'll even push against it, but you are in it. You do see it. You do understand it, or at least part of it. And I want you just to embrace the mystery of it and see what God might want to do. This is an exciting time for us. And I'm praying that as a church, I struggle a little bit because I sense broken relationships, and I wonder how can that be in the kingdom. I sense people walking away from marriages of 40 years, and I wonder how that can be in the kingdom. I'm just a little frustrated by it. See, we're not living the kingdom, are we? I see sometimes people living in sin, and I'm puzzled by it. How can that be in the kingdom? Are we conforming to the world and not even knowing it? The way we think, God doesn't want you to be like that. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has everything to do with living an abundant life and answering the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want that to be true in my life. How about you? I don't care what it is you're dealing with right now. Would you filter it through the kingdom? And take Matthew 13 and read it. You'll see the four soils in there. Those are things that often block the kingdom. You need to discern that in your own life. But look at it, because Jesus is trying to tell us what the kingdom's like. And he's saying, hey, it's now. It's this. There is a kingdom now that we are participating in. There is a kingdom in the future. But right now, I want to be part of the kingdom that God has for us. Amen? And I want to exhort you to embrace the mystery and believe God and believe what his scripture says and begin to live it. Because it's, remember the definition? It's God's rule and reign in your life through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live any other way. How about you? Would you commit to that today? Would you do that? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come here. And as we come to the table, we are reminded of your heart for us. For it's your pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's your pleasure. And so, Lord, we want to receive it. And we want to walk in it. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to be able to live it in our lives. I pray that it could be true in our relationships, and whether it be in the family or extended out from there, however far that goes or ripples out in the workplace. Lord, we are kingdom people. And I pray we could have an awareness of the kingdom and yet at the same time embrace the mystery of it, because it's bigger than what we can see. And we can pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. I want your kingdom come and your will to be done in my finances. I want your kingdom come and your will to be done, Father, in my leisure activities. I want your kingdom come and your will to be done in the relationships I have with others, and even in the conflict I have with others. Lord, would your kingdom come? Let us deal with these things, not in the world's kingdom, but in your kingdom. This is a great time to be alive. It's a time to let our light shine. We know that darkness has come upon the land and upon the hearts of the people. But it's a time for the light to shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And that is kingdom talk. And we want that to be a reality in our lives. Would you help us? Lord, would you release us from the frustrations that some of us are carrying because of a lack of understanding of who we are and where we are and what it is we're supposed to be doing. So we pray this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. We invite you to come this morning to the table that's been set for us in the spirit of Luke 12:32. If you look that up in context, the verse right before it, what's it say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Then he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right? So that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're doing as we come to this table. Come, receive God's gift for you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate your patience going a little later today. And I'm going to be praying for you. You know, I'm going to be laid up this week because of surgery. Be praying for me. I'll be praying for you. Sometimes there's things that happen to me and it's a mystery to me, and I'd like to see it be something different, but it's not. And I just go, okay, Lord, and what's our question we keep asking? I wonder what this will make possible. That's kingdom talk, because there's a mystery often that is hidden. There's things that are hidden that we can't see, but we move out in faith. Amen. That's what we're going to do. So I just want to encourage you today to embrace the mystery of the kingdom this week and ask God to open your eyes. Don't be like the people Jesus talked about, who's seeing they can't see, hearing they can't hear. That would not be true for us. I want to be able to see God. How about you? I want to be able to see him. I want to be able to rejoice in all the moving pieces that God is doing around my life. I want to get up every morning with a spring in my step going, all right, Lord, the kingdom come today. Your will be done today, right now, on earth, this very minute, just like it is in heaven. How'd you like to live your life like that? Amen? Let's do that. Let's commit to that. Would you commit to that? Just say, okay, I'm going to do that. And we'll do that this week. And we're not just going to say the prayer, but we're going to live it. As you leave today, I want to give you an invitation, and we'll stay around as long as necessary, but we'd like to pray with you. I know some had to leave already, and I appreciate that. I know a lot of things going on, but if you have time to stay and you want somebody just to pray with you, maybe you've got some things going on in your life. You don't understand all the moving pieces, and you're a little confused by it all, and you'd like somebody just to agree in prayer with you and pray that prayer over you, that God's kingdom would come in your life and his will would be done in your life just like it is in heaven. You want that right now today? We want to pray with you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're living in another kingdom, and God is inviting you. He's inviting you to allow him to have rule and reign over your life. Not a drudgery duty thing, but something with delight and joy, a new life in Christ, that you don't have to live in that other kingdom. You can live in the new kingdom right now. Amen? Are you ready for that? If you're here and that's you, I want to pray with you. I want to just agree with you in prayer. If you just need a hug this morning, you need encouragement, you need healing in your body, we'll pray the prayer of faith. We'll anoint you with oil. How's that possible? Because the kingdom has come. It's near us. And we're going to pray that God will move in your life. Amen? And so, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, let us walk in your kingdom today. And all this week, show us the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.